Now, in studio, your lending expert, family man, and servant leader, who's committed to honoring and empowering San Diego's servant leaders to rise up. Your host of Rise Up Radio, James Carmody.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio. I'm sorry to disappoint, but James is out this week. I'm your guest host, Derek Abbey, and I'm always so happy to be back on with Rise Up Radio. Thank you so much for having me. How you been, Jennifer?
I've been well. Derek, we're so happy to have you back at the helm. We're really honored and blessed to always have you in the studio with us and guest hosting. James and his family are in Florida on a beach right now, taking some definitely, you know, needed R&R. We're happy for them. We say hi from coast to coast.
So you go to Florida to go to the beach, but we have such amazing beaches right here in San Diego. But
so true. I can't debate that.
I guess
you got to
compare them. You got to compare them a little bit. How have you been? What have you been up to?
No, everything. I actually just got back from Boston. I was in the Northeast, 3 states, 4.5 days. So it was whirlwind of a trip, but it was great. It was with family, and we're so grateful to be, you know, heading in. This is our 113th episode of Rise Up Radio, and we're just so honored to be able to get to share these stories and get to honor and spotlight the servant leaders that are in San Diego and how they're rising up and really making a difference.
Awesome. Well, we have some amazing guests that we're going to be speaking to today, so we might as well just jump right into it. We have two amazing people from an amazing organization, San Diego Social Venture Partners, and I'm joined today by the Executive Director, Sierra Vashar Croha, and member, partner, board member, Scott Tritt. Thank you so much for being here. Let's start with you, Sierra. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Yeah, sure. So I've been with San Diego Social Venture Partners now for about 4 years and in the executive director role for about 18 months, and incredibly honored to be part of this incredible group of people serving so many interesting and amazing, hardworking nonprofits here in San Diego. We do a couple of things. First and kind of foremost, we help nonprofits be stronger, more efficient businesses. So we assume that they have incredible programs that are serving their clients, but not necessarily the resources or the time, or sometimes not the know-how to focus on their business. So we help them be better organizations. And at the same time, and sometimes perhaps even more powerfully, we help our members who are, you know, people in our community that want to give back more effectively, be more, in fact, more impactful in the way that they give their time, their talent, and their treasure, more effective as donors, more effective as volunteers.
And the cool thing is you are a nonprofit yourself.
Yeah, right? We are a nonprofit ourselves. It's actually an international nonprofit. We are one of 40 different affiliates around the world in 8 different countries. Each one is their own kind of thing, investing locally in their own community, but we are kind of hung together in this global network, learning and sharing with each other. It's really awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, you obviously have a lot of work to do here in San Diego. So, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of nonprofits here in San Diego doing great work, and so many of them need the help that you're providing. So tell me a little bit, if I'm a nonprofit and I'm coming to your organization, what are some of the things that nonprofits come to you for?
Yeah, so any nonprofit in town can come and ask for our support, and if we are able to provide it, we absolutely will. Groups come to us looking for support when it comes to anything kind of business related. And this is often the part of their organization that they really are underfunded to do. So that might mean putting together a marketing strategy, kind of putting better financial controls in place, helping their board understand the financial position of the organization, developing a professional board in the first place, thinking through how to expand their staff, how they might, if even in a resource-constrained environment, create a place where people want to work. So that might be different kind of benefit structures that they might not be aware of, et cetera. So all that kind of business stuff that our members who've been in the business community for a long time have done and want to contribute that kind of skill set, it's exactly what nonprofits are starving for. So it really is a match made in heaven.
I've seen that so often. I've seen so many people, you know, they have great ideas, they have great heart, and they get a group of people together and their intentions are fantastic, and they decide, hey, we'll just start a nonprofit. And it's not, that might not be the best way of approaching it. And sometimes people might find that out a little bit too far
too
down
late,
the road.
Yeah. So I mean, it is or it isn't, right? I mean, sometimes people are responding to urgent needs in their community, but the sort of catch-22 for nonprofits is that the more successful you are at delivering critical services and products to the community, the more infrastructure and business know-how you need. So as they start to really succeed at serving whatever their clientele is, they end up needing more kind of back office stuff. And that means they need more funding, and donors are always looking to, you know, make sure that 90 cents on every dollar goes straight to the programs, which makes it hard for them to really put those pieces in place that result in bigger dividends for the community down the road.
And you hit it. So you're not helping them, you know, with their programs or whatever the mission of their nonprofit is. You're helping them with the structure that helps them, you know, apply themselves to those programs in the best way possible as a business, as an organization, as a nonprofit. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it is sort of meta in that regard, yeah. Right? We figure that these nonprofit professionals have formed because they know what their clients need better than we possibly could. They're already delivering excellent programs. I mean, if they asked us to help, I suppose we could try. But the reality is that most of our expertise is from the for-profit sector, mm-hmm. meaning all these kind of business operations pieces that does lay the groundwork for more effective programs down the road and more efficient use of every dollar that comes into their organization.
Well, that's fantastic. And we're joined here with Scott as well. Scott, you are a member. So you're one of these individuals and many members in the organization that when a nonprofit comes to you and needs help, you're one of the experts that they're talking to and you're helping them. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, that's exactly right, Derek. My background is radio and TV news. So where most of my conversations start is, what story are you telling? And that's primarily, what story are you telling to your donors? What are you trying to motivate them to do? So that's my particular expertise. I've been with Social Venture Partners for several years. And given the fact that I've gone through these storytelling workshops over a number of opportunities, I've also, as you can imagine, dabbled a little bit into fundraising. So now I'm able to coach folks on, what does an effective campaign look like? What are the right things to ask for? What are the right dollar amounts? What's the right time frame? All of that sort of stuff. But speaking more broadly about Social Venture Partners, the great thing about the organization is this strategic volunteering that our members do that really other organizations in town don't provide. There are a lot of ways to get checks. Money is fabulous. Everybody needs money to operate. But having the ability to tap into these trusted relationships can often be more valuable than the dollars themselves. And so that's really what distinguishes this organization. And that's what gives me, as somebody who has time to volunteer, a much more structured, much deeper experience in my volunteering time than I would get just by going in at the ground level at a particular organization.
Yeah, you bring in an enormous amount of value. And my understanding is that when these nonprofits come to you, or you decide that you're going to work with them, that you're not charging them, or is there a fee, or how does that work?
No, it's the other way around, actually. So any nonprofit can come to us for support. And if we're able to provide that support, then we will. But every year, we also choose an issue area that we're going to focus on and learn a lot about ourselves. So this year, it's early childhood development. Last year, it was homelessness. The year before that, it was human trafficking. And we go through a process of vetting organizations that are working in that space, looking for sort of those groups that can move from good to great with a little bit of support from Social Venture Partners. And we don't charge them anything. In fact, like I said, it's the reverse. We actually give them a grant. So we have a pool of funds that we give back to the community. This year, we'll be giving $45,000 away to the nonprofits, to one or two nonprofits working in early childhood development. And any nonprofit, even if we don't give them that financial support, we certainly don't charge them. And you know, that's because we're a philanthropically minded organization. And I, to some degree, think that our members, our partners like Scott, get almost more out of the experience sometimes than we're giving to the nonprofits.
Yeah, that's that impact, that generativity opportunity that you get to have as individuals. And like you said, Scott, it's not just coming in and volunteering in a technical task, or I'm going to volunteer a couple hours and do X for a nonprofit. I'm coming in with my expertise and I can have an impact at the highest level possible.
Right. Well, the transformation really does happen. It's a two-way benefit, if you will. As much as we, as members of Social Venture Partners, are going in and trying to transform some aspect of the nonprofit, going through that experience also transforms us as individuals. And we don't talk about that as much. We talk about the impact we have on the nonprofits. But the fact is, all of the people who are members can talk very eloquently about ways in which their giving, the quality of their lives has been transformed as a result of not only the engagements that they've had with the nonprofits that they've helped, but also having an opportunity to sit around a table and talk through a problem with a group of folks who are not only knowledgeable, but also have an attitude that philanthropy and giving back should be part of their life.
So do you have a story or a personal story that you'd be willing to share around?
Well, I can just relate to the fact that Social Venture Partners has satisfied everything. They've provided everything for me that I thought they were going to provide. Mm-hmm. What I was looking for when I joined was a strategic, effective way to volunteer, and also a strategic way to meet people and have a social network. And being part of this organization has provided both those things.
How long have you been a part of the organization?
I think it's 9 years, although I lost count.
Oh, wow. So has it all been here in San Diego, or has it been all over? Or?
All of my work with Social Venture Partners has been here in San Diego, but as Sierra said, we have chapters all over the country and all over the world, and each chapter focuses on needs in their own community.
And Sierra, you came from a place far away before you got here. Where were you before?
Yeah, I have a real heart for nonprofit work. The idea that you can wake up every day and try to make a difference in the community has been a real motivator for my professional life, for sure. Before coming to Social Venture Partners, I was living and working in Nairobi, Kenya for a nonprofit called Evidence Action, and we were doing a school-based deworming program. So I know talking about intestinal worms is the sexiest dinner table conversation out there, but it really was incredible work, and yeah, I miss it to some degree, for sure.
Well, you both have enormous hearts, and it's an absolute privilege to have you both on here today. I'm speaking with Sierra and Scott, both from San Diego Social Venture Partners, and we're going to continue this conversation after this break. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
It was a goal that I wanted to achieve from the very beginning.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. I wasn't sure if I could do it. It was very hard for me, but the teachers, the counselors, they help you.
One of the teachers was Miss Araceli. Miss Araceli, she gave me direction. Every single time I had a question,
she'll put down whatever she's doing and she'll come over and she'll sit there with you until you get it.
At age 47, with the help of his teacher, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work. Getting your high school diploma, it is a life-changing experience. It really is. It catapults you to where you want to go.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, James Carmody, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
1170, The Answer.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio. This is Derek Gabby. I'm your guest host this week. If you ever want to hear more or learn more about Rise Up Radio, you can follow us and join us on our website at sdriseup.com. You can listen to old episodes. You can hear me in the past talking to some amazing guests, just like the amazing guests that we're talking to today. I'm joined by Sierra and Scott from San Diego Social Venture Partners, and we've been talking about the amazing work that they are doing supporting nonprofits in San Diego and around the world and helping them perform their mission better by providing expertise to allow their organizations to just become more solid, develop more scale, all those things that we don't think about a nonprofit needing. Mostly we think about specifically the programs and the missions of those nonprofits. I want to talk a little bit about more of what you're focused on this year. It's early childhood development, and I'd like to hear, you know, who are you partnering with here in San Diego? Why early childhood development? Why is that important, and why did you select it?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I think earlier, that we do focus on a topic area every year, and within that kind of issue, so this year it is early childhood education, we will be giving money to one or two nonprofits that are working in that space, but any nonprofit in town can come to us for support, whether or not they fit that topic area, and we'll do our best to move the needle for their organization. But early childhood development is a critically underserved or underfunded issue in our community. We learned through this process, we brought in a couple of experts to help us understand what's happening in this space and where are there potential opportunities for investment for organizations like ours and for donors in particular. And we learned that if you make an investment in a child before the age of five, there's a 13% return on that investment. And actually, our public funds are just the reverse, that we're putting more money into supporting kids as they kind of start to fall off of the straight and narrow, right? So as they start to struggle in school and as they start to get involved in crime, or if their families start to fall apart, that's when we invest in them. But that's a really expensive way to go about it. But if you can lay the groundwork for entering kindergarten on track, then these kids are so much more likely to succeed than if they start off not ready to learn. And it's all the way down to just developing strong brain architecture. So early childhood development is one of the best buys in terms of supporting your community. And it sets these kids up for a lifetime of success rather than a lifetime of struggle.
So it's about creating that solid foundation, right?
Absolutely.
Starting off on the right foot instead of waiting to address the problem,
yeah,
or a problem down the line. It makes sense. And there's statistics that show,
yeah,
that ultimately it pays off. If you start investing in our children earlier on, hopefully it prevents, and it's shown to prevent potential problems from happening,
yeah,
in the future.
Absolutely.
So who are some of the organizations, or what are some of the directions that you're taking in addressing?
Yes, we're really lucky this year to have partnered with the San Diego Women's Foundation. They are also a group that gives back to the community, and they have a really exciting initiative called their Collaborative Initiative, which is a group of their members that want to fund the community collaboratively with someone else. So we were really happy to kind of put our two organizations together, and they've added $20,000 to the pool of funds that SVP will be investing in the community, which kind of increases their impact and increases ours. So that's been a really exciting new partnership.
It sounds like you guys are going to have an amazing impact again this year. And what were some of the organizations and some of the causes that you were supporting in the past?
Yeah, so right now we are supporting Dreams for Change, which is working to help the homeless in our community. We're working with Bilateral Safety Corridor Coalition, BSCC. They're kind of responding on the front lines of some of the most tragic human trafficking cases in our community. Casa Cornelia, which also does a little bit in human trafficking, but really serves, in particular, unrepresented minors that are showing up at the border and needing legal support. We've in the past worked with Just in Time for Foster Youth, Words Alive, really quite a number of organizations. 32 different groups have received our financial support, but we've been serving hundreds of nonprofits on just a pro bono volunteer basis since we were founded 16 years ago.
You're having an enormous positive impact on the community.
And, I like to think so.
Yeah, this is why we have you here, of course. We want more people to learn about what you're doing and the impact that you're making. It's absolutely unbelievable. So those are the nonprofits that you're supporting that are having an impact in areas that are valuable to not only you, but to the entire community. But then also you're supporting another part of our population in just your own programming, for lack of a better term. I mean, the purpose of your nonprofit is not only to support nonprofits, but to engage in other parts of the community as far as your members and stuff like that. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Scott's a perfect example of that. You're someone that joined the community because they wanted to give back and help the nonprofit sector, and then kind of turned around, what is it, Scott, 7 years later, and realized that maybe the transformation has been as much for you as for them, right?
Well, I think that's an important part of what we do. As much as we would love to say we can serve every nonprofit who needs our help, the fact is we need people on the other side who are willing to give of their talent in order to get that accomplished. And really, the partnership of Social Venture Partners now is a diverse group of people, entrepreneurs, successful business people who just want to make more effective productive use of some time that they have to volunteer beyond the traditional ways, and that's really where we come in. But yes, in as much as we try to transform some aspects of the organizations that we work with and make them more efficient, there is also a transformation that occurs in the individual members as they learn and think about how they can be more thoughtful and more effective in their giving and the time that they spend volunteering in the community, and that can be just as powerful a transformation as the change that we create in our nonprofit partners.
We have the largest number of, or the largest number in history preparing to retire or retiring now, and that is an enormous untapped resource, and you're taking advantage of that. I mean, these are people that have an enormous amount of talent pool, resources, time to commit. So how do we utilize this population to have an amazing impact?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Definitely, there's a huge number of baby boomers set to retire, and social venture partners can be kind of a really great act too for them. They've been developing these skill sets that are in real need in our community over the course of long careers, and by joining social venture partners, they can use those skills in a new, very relevant way. Kind of directed back towards our community. We're not all retired, I will say that. I think that we're a great organization for folks that have developed a whole career's worth of skill sets and talents that they can give back, but we're also a great place for folks that are new to town and want to learn more about their community. We're a great place for kind of middle-level professionals that want to grow their career, maybe figure out how to get onto a nonprofit board of directors and want to make sure that when they end up in that position that they're well poised to help an organization, or maybe want to kind of expand what they learn. Maybe they work in HR and they can help out with nonprofits' HR needs, but they'd love to kind of dabble in finance or want to, you know, learn something new, and joining up with others as part of our organization really opens your mind to the different possibilities that are out there for you.
And we were talking a little bit earlier that sometimes, you know, they might not come and get the answer that they were expecting, but sometimes it's so valuable to get that outside perspective, whether that expert can actually help or not. Maybe they can provide a perspective that you weren't thinking of. I know, you know, sometimes nonprofits are small. They're so focused on doing what they're doing. They might not be thinking so much about, you know, those business aspect of their organization, and this outside perspective can help a lot.
Right.
What are some of the most common things that you see nonprofits needing when they're coming to you? Or if you had to tell a nonprofit, hey, this is something that's really valuable that we could provide for you, you should come and knock on our door.
Yeah. So we often hear from nonprofits that they want some help with marketing. And by that, they usually mean reaching other donors, right? And so they raise the question, can you help me with my marketing strategy? But then we quickly uncover that the issue isn't how to say what they want to say. It's what do you want to say? And it's actually more of a strategic direction question. So it kind of unravels. It starts with what, you know, help me get my message out. Oh, what is my message? Oh, where are we trying to go? Oh, we need to do a strategic planning kind of session. And so that's oftentimes an entry point, although not exclusively. We've also had nonprofits just have really kind of basic questions about how to get through an audit for the first time, or what's appropriate salaries for an executive director, perhaps someone being hired, the first staff member of what used to be an all volunteer led organization, and how to do that transition, all sorts of different stuff. Sometimes we're in the unpleasant position, I think, of telling folks that they ought not to start a nonprofit. They'll come to us when they're just thinking about kind of for the first time, they see a need in their community and they think I'll start a nonprofit, and they don't necessarily realize what a business challenge that's going to be. So we'll kind of open their eyes to all the infrastructure and planning and, you know, all the boring stuff, not the serving your community, right? That's what inspired them to do it, but all of the kind of back office things that become really critical over time.
Yeah, all the things that we don't want to think about.
Right.
We would much rather just be focused on helping others and having an impact on our community. But in order to do that in a better way and have a greater impact, we need to focus on these other things.
So yeah.
Are the relationships that you have with these nonprofits, are they long term? Are they short? Are they a mixture of all of those things? What is that?
I would say it's a mixture of all. Generally, the organizations that we have a funding relationship with, which is to say those that fall into our focus area every year, we'll generally be engaged with them for 2 to 3 years, and we'll parcel the funding and the advice out over that time. But we never really say goodbye, which means if there's an organization that we funded a few years ago, they can always come back to us and ask us for an update or more help or a new idea. And more broadly, as we've said several times, any nonprofit can come to us for project-based help. That could be fundraising, that could be developing your board, the things that Sierra just mentioned. And obviously those engagements would take the appropriate amount of time. It could be one meeting, it could be six, just depends on what they need.
Awesome. So what do you want to tell our audience? What do you want to tell nonprofits or potential members out there about your organization?
Yeah, I think there's sort of two things. First, if anyone out there works at a nonprofit or knows a nonprofit that's really doing important work in our community that might benefit from our support, I hope they direct them to our website, which is www.sdsvp.org. There's a tab on there where you can fill out a form saying, you know, I want some help, and someone from our staff will contact you and try to set up a way for us to jump in and at least take a crack at whatever problem you're coming to us with. And like Scott said, this is two sides of the coin. We can only do that when we've got the folks as part of our organization that are willing to give their time and their talent strategically. So if you want to be a volunteer, want to turn your giving into something more effective, and when I say giving, I mean your time, talent, and your treasure, then we might be an interesting organization for you to join. And you can also contact us through our website. There's a tab that says, I want to learn more about becoming a partner, which is what we call our members, and you'll hear from me right away.
That's amazing. And we're going to ensure that we put all the information up on our website.
Great.
With the podcast. So we'll make it really easy for our listeners to come out, volunteer, get assistance. Thank you so much, Sierra and Scott, for joining us. We've been hearing all sorts about this amazing organization, San Diego Social Venture Partners. They're helping nonprofits be better nonprofits in the San Diego community and across the world. Definitely. You are Rise Up members. You are servant leaders having an enormous impact. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm Derek Abbey, your guest host for the week, and we'll be back with some more amazing guests soon.
AM 1170, The Answer, San Diego.
Hey folks, James Carmerdine, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio. This is Derek Abbey, your guest host this week. It's another amazing day in San Diego, and we're talking to some amazing guests. Jennifer, thank you so much for having me back again. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always just an amazing time to talk to such amazing people. It just makes me feel good in my heart when I walk away from events like this. So thank you.
Absolutely. Derek, we are always so happy to have you with us in studio, whether you're a guest or whether you're hosting. We're honestly always so honored. And so, you know, you are always jet-setting around the world, whether it's for Travis Mannion Foundation or for some of the other boards that you support. So any updates on that, specifically Bent Prop?
Yes, I do have an update on the Bent Prop project. I actually was in Ohio this last weekend, and I was attending a funeral. And most people would think that would be bad news, but it was actually a funeral slash memorial for a sailor or an Aura Sharning House who was missing for almost 74 years. So Bent Prop, as part of Project Recover, which was our partnership with Scripps Institution of Oceanography and the University of Delaware, we located Aura in 2014. And then over the last few years, they identified his remains and repatriated him back to the U.S. So we were able to attend that memorial with his family. It was amazing. Midwest town, the entire community came out. There were plenty of Sharning House relatives there and just community members. And it was an amazing time. It's always an amazing time to connect with these families and provide answers to their lost loved ones. So that's what I did last weekend. It was a little cold in Ohio, but my heart was warm. So it's amazing. I got another memorial we're going to in Arlington for another sailor named William Pennell. So on May 2nd, we'll all be in Arlington attending that memorial. But I was happy to be there last week. I'm excited about next month, but I'm really, really happy to be here in studio right now with some amazing guests. So we'll just jump right into that. Our next guests are Ron Daimling and Mike Torti. Ron is the vice president for Soapy Joe's, and Mike is the chair of the Surfrider Foundation here in San Diego. And, I mean, we're San Diego. We're known as a surf location.
Right.
But I really want to know What is Soapy Joe's, and what is this partnership all about?
I'm excited to be here, and thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Soapy Joe's is a company-founded automated car wash that's been in operation since 2003, I believe. Oh. And we've got 10 locations through the city of San Diego, and we're all about people, passion, and the environment. And so we definitely have a different kind of spin in how we operate. And I'm just really blessed and grateful to be a part of such an amazing organization.
So how many locations are here in San Diego?
So we have 10, from San Ysidro to Oceanside.
Okay.
And so we're big on value, and our biggest thing right now is membership. And so you can, as a member, you can go to any 10 locations to get your car washed as many times as you want.
Now, Ron, when I think of a car wash, I don't really think of the explanation that you just provided.
Right, so, right.
Tell me more a little bit about
sure,
that.
Sure. So basically, we're an automated car wash. You come in and from the XPT, which is the gate, then you go to the tunnel. It takes about 3 minutes, depending on which package you get. You go out. You have the option to go to one of our vacuum centers, which has industrial strength vacuums and microfiber towels, because a lot of people want to touch their cars and feel their cars and be part of the experience. But we're all about convenience, and we're all about getting it done quickly and the quality. And you know, and we, as Southern Californians, we spend so much time in our cars that it's like almost your second home. So who doesn't like to at least have a clean home or car, right? And make you feel good about yourself, you know? So the owners created this concept, and we're just growing leaps and bounds. And, you know, it's lucky that we're able to employ so many people within our communities and have that kind of little bit of a, not a cookie cutter operation, but a little bit of a personal flavoring of each city we work in. So it's just a great, great company.
And that makes sense. We spend a lot of time in our cars in California.
Oh my gosh,
you spend a lot of time in your beds.
Right.
You know, we don't realize. So those are some areas you might want to spend a little bit
of
love.
More, invest a little more, right?
Yeah. So people, passion, and environment.
Yeah.
What is that for car wash?
I know, right? I never thought in a million years that I would be sitting here today working for a car wash company. And I can honestly say it's one of the greatest professional opportunities I've ever had. The people that work at Soapy Joe's, it's amazing the passion and heart that they bring each and every day. They really value what they do, and they like to make people happy. And that, I think, by having that kind of energy and that kind of pop creates that kind of value. People come in, they're like, they can feel it. And, you know, you never thought of a car wash, but it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that environment word in there is why we have Mike in studio.
Absolutely.
With us as well. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Surfrider, just to start, our mission is the protection and enjoyment of the world's ocean waves and beaches. And, here in San Diego, we have the largest and most active chapter throughout all of Surfriders Network. And so going back to last September, we had one of our premier events, which is our Paddle for Clean Water, where each year surfers or just ocean enthusiasts get to go out and paddle around the Ocean Beach Pier, which is, I believe, the largest pier in California. And we partnered with Soapy Joe's then. They sponsored the event. And, you know, just like what you're saying, we are almost entirely a volunteer organization. And we rely on companies like Soapy Joe that are environmentally oriented and mission driven to help fund us so that we can have our volunteers, you know, accomplish our mission.
So you guys partner to to support nonprofits and other organizations.
We're really big on that.
Okay,
really,
and Surfrider is one of them, and that makes sense. So what do you do as an organization to focus on the environment? Is it supporting other nonprofits? Do you have practices in your organization itself?
Great question. We do both. We're very conscious of water being our most valuable resource here in San Diego and on the planet, and so we're very mindful in regards to, you know, how we use that water, and a lot of the processes we have in place are very water saver friendly. So, for instance, if I was to wash my car in my driveway, I would probably use anywhere between 75 and 100 gallons. Because I'm old school. That's how I was brought up. My dad washed his car. You go to a Soapy Joe's, you're looking anywhere between 21 and 35 gallons. So it's very efficient, and a lot of the water we use is recycled. So we have filtration systems in each location. So we're using a lot of the water that comes off your car. We re-clean it, and then we use it on the lower half. So, I mean, you know, you don't need the city water on the lower half of your vehicle. And so, again, you're able to get a clean car, save some water, feel good about yourself, and, you know, so it's a win-win for everybody.
And it's a membership organization,
so you can
do it as many times as you want.
As many times as you want. We have people come in every day, and it's just, you know, people are like, well, how can you guys make money? And it's just like, it's all about the people in the process, and it's really cool that we're providing a product that people feel good about. It makes them feel good, and then we're also making people like Mike here in the environment, we're partnering with great organizations like that. So it's an amazing win-win for us.
I tell you what, my neighbor, or I know somebody that has a neighbor, maybe I should say that, right? has like five cars. I think he's my best friend. And I think he's invested definitely more in his cars than his home. Well, maybe not so much here in San Diego, but he's washing those cars. I think he washes all five of them every day.
Wow.
And you know, I pay attention to the environment. I live in San Diego, so I definitely pay attention to water. And it's kind of gotten to the point where, you know, you see a kid without a seatbelt, and you're kind of like, what's wrong with those parents? That guy's out washing his car, and I kind of look at him and think, man, really? You really doing that? We're using that much water?
Mm-hmm.
I need to tell him a little bit about
it. You should, because one of the things, too, is the processes we use, you get a longer time between the time you need to wash your car. So not only you don't have to wash your car every day, you know, some people like it, but really if you do it the right way and you get one of our top tier packages, you can go almost just go twice a month and your car still looks good. So it's definitely a win-win.
And I'm sure his water bill would be cheaper and that would make up in that cost.
There you go. Right.
So I've said it from the very beginning. So you don't really think about a car wash and think about everything and see the passion. I mean, you said passion, but I see it in the way you speak about your organization. And I'm assuming you're not the only one.
No, it starts from the top.
Yeah.
You know, I'm blessed to get my inspiration and my motivation from the two owners, and it goes down. And it's we're always one team, one dream. You know, and so we think about that every day, like how can we be better, not just from a business perspective, but from a community and neighbor perspective, because we live in the communities we work and serve with. So we've got to make sure we put our best foot forward.
So what's your story? How did you end up at Soapy Joe's?
You know, it's crazy. I was in food and beverage. I was in fitness, great high profile jobs. And a recruiter found me and he told me about this amazing job. And I'm like, OK, it sounds good. It sounds good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, what's the pitch? And he told me, I'm like, come on, you know? And he's like, just go meet these guys. And I knew within 30 seconds after I met the owner that I'm in it to win it. I'm like, yeah. And I was in a great organization before. So, I mean, I knew it just by his passion and what he brings every day. I'm like, I want to be a partner with that.
Yeah, well, you're making me think about maybe I need to apply to get a job there. Maybe just a part-time job.
There you go. Over there you go.
And do a little bit of work. But yeah. We're talking to Ron. He is the vice president for Soapy Joe's. And Mike Torti is here from Surfrider Foundation. He's the chair of the Surfrider Foundation for the San Diego chapter here in lovely Southern California. This is an amazing organization that you can participate in. And you obviously have a car. Most people have a car here in San Diego. This isn't the Northeast. Right. And most people tend to wash their cars. So this is a way to, you know, have an impact in a small way as an individual. But if we do it in large numbers, we can have an enormous impact.
Absolutely.
And then Soapy Joe's is partnering with these other organizations to expand that impact. And we're going to hear a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Rise Up Radio. I'm Derek Abbey, your guest host this week. We'll be back soon.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Hey folks, James Carmerdine, the host of Rise Up Radio, your source for good news in the San Diego community. We are sharing the good news about what's going on. We need your help. If you are listening to this, please stop what you're doing. Go to sdriseup.com. In the bottom right corner of the page, there's a button that says, I will rise up. We need your help in sharing the good news in San Diego's community. Whether it's the local pastor of your church, your kid's little league coach, or small business owner, we want to share the good news. So go to sdriseup.com and share the stories.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, James Carmody, Synergy One Lending. Are you in the market to buy a property and need to close really fast? Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team is your family-owned mortgage bank. Right now, there's low inventory, there's a lot of offers, it's competitive. Synergy One Lending and the Carmody team can close your loan in as little as 10 days. Call today to find out more. 858-525-3086. Call James Carmody and the Carmody team at Synergy One Lending, 858-525-3086.
The Answer.
Welcome back to Rise Up Radio. Hey, we want to encourage you to visit sdriseup.com. You can listen to this episode as many times as you want in the future, or you can listen to the 112 other episodes of Rise Up Radio that are out there online. Just amazing feel-good stories about servant leaders doing amazing things in the community. Go out, visit www.riseupsandiego or sdriseup.com. I always mess that up.
You got it.
But I have it as a favorite on my computer, so I never have to remember it. That's my excuse. That's right. Well, we have some amazing guests. We want to delve back into these stories. We have Mike from Surfrider Foundation and Ron Daimling from Soapy Joe's. Mike, I want to talk a little bit more about Surfrider Foundation. I mean, we touched a little bit on the beach cleanup and stuff that you're doing down around OB Pier, but there's so much that Surfrider does. I'd just like to hear, you know, what are some of the things that are happening here in San Diego and across the world that you guys are participating in?
Yeah, so again, our chapter is, we're made up of almost all volunteers. So it's pretty incredible the amount of work people do on a day-to-day basis, actually making an impact. And, you know, beach cleanups is really the first way that people usually get involved with our organization. So last year we had, I believe, 60 beach cleanups throughout the year, and 9,000 volunteers came out. And within that, 12,000 pounds of trash were picked up off of our beaches.
Wow.
So, you know, when you're picking up a piece of trash and you got something small in your hand, it seems somewhat insignificant, but ultimately it equals 12,000 pounds annually. And just some breakdown stats, we picked up 37,000 cigarette butts and 19,000 pieces of styrofoam. So if it wasn't for our volunteers at that level, all those plastics or waste would go into the ocean and then they biodegrade. And that obviously, I'm hoping it's obvious at this point, breaks down and contaminates the oceans and harms our marine life.
Yeah.
So that's really one way to get involved. And we have surfridersc.org, which is our website. And we have a calendar up there of all different beach cleanup events, in addition to our 9 other programs that we lead.
Well, I think if anybody's interested in a beach cleanup, 60 over the last year, that's, you pretty much have an opportunity every week.
Yes.
You know, and it's sunny out. So get up, go spend a little bit of time on the beach. And contribute a little bit, like you said, that strength in numbers, right?
Sure.
You might not think that you're having a big impact, but ultimately that results in 12,000 pounds of trash being removed from our beaches and ultimately our oceans.
It's significant.
It is significant. And I think I read or heard somewhere that cigarette butts are the largest pollutants in the world.
They are, yeah.
And obviously the impact of plastics in our water is enormous. What's some other work that you guys are doing?
Yeah, so speaking on plastics, we have one of our programs is Rise Above Plastics, which their mission is to eliminate single-use plastics. So, plastic water bottles, cigarette butts, plastic bags, styrofoam containers, and all of that is essentially just disposed of as soon as you use it. Most of it cannot go through the recycling process, so it ends up going into our waste stream, or it's unintentionally littered and then it enters into our beaches and our environment and pollutes. So we have a great program there where volunteers work to educate the community. One, we have a program within there called Ocean Friendly Restaurants, which we have advocates go out and meet with restaurant owners and have them actually volunteer to reduce single-use plastics within their restaurants. And then we have our own advocacy team as well. And our advocacy team works with elected officials throughout San Diego County and different communities to hopefully adopt policies that would at least reduce, if not eliminate, single-use plastics, because it is a habit, and ultimately, some enforcement's needed to curtail that habit. So we've had success in single-use plastic bag ordinances. We had San Diego, Oceanside, Encinitas, Solana Beach all adopt them before the state adopted it. And now we're working closely with elected officials on ordinances for styrofoam food containers. Again, a heavy pollutant that's not able to be recycled for the most part. And we have had Imperial Beach, Encinitas, and Solana Beach adopt these ordinances and are working with the city of San Diego currently.
That's amazing. Have you noticed an impact on these beach cleanups as far as an absence of those single-use bags that we used to see in grocery stores all the time?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't have the stats in front of me right now, but plastic bags used to make, depending on the year, between the top 5 to top 10 most picked up item off of our beaches, and that has drastically reduced since. So, between people's habit changes and then in addition to ordinances eliminating the single-use plastic bags, it is having an impact. And then, in addition to the environment, there's also a cost. When we as volunteers are picking this up for free, picking up trash for free, but you got to imagine that cities are having to clean up the remaining amount of trash. So when we ban these sorts of plastics, it actually is helping out taxpayers as well.
And, I can give you my personal testimony on the plastic bag ban here in San Diego. My wife and I, we keep, multi-use bags in the trunk of our cars, but I always forget them in the car. And so I refuse to pay the 5-10 cents for whatever bag it is. So I'm the guy that's kind of trying to balance, a cart of groceries on my hands, walking out to the car without dropping anything. Well, at least dropping the eggs, to get out there. But it's having an impact. It's definitely changed us. I always have the bags in my car. Sometimes I forget to use them. I look like that fool in the parking lot. But it is nice to know that it is having a positive impact on our environment. Thank you so much for all that you do. Absolutely. Now, Ron, you said that it's not just less water being used. It's not impacting neighborhoods for people using less water to wash their cars and stuff like that. As far as how you guys process the products that are being used on these cars, you do it different as well, right?
Great question. So the soaps that we use are biodegradable, eco-friendly. We're very big about that. We actually cost us more money to do it that way, but that's how important it is, because at the end of the day, it's about doing the right thing, right? And people like Mike out there, you know, carrying the sword to help better our environment, we want to do what we can to operate a business that's mindfully respectful of people and all the efforts going on to protect our beautiful environment. So it's the soaps we use. We're also very cost efficient in regards to the power and electricity, because obviously that's has a big carbon footprint. And so we work really hard, especially during the summer when everyone's tapping that power grid. We've installed a lot of technology that lowers ours. So not so much for a cost perspective, but putting the demand on the system. So those are all the things that go into play into our car washes.
And it might seem small, but those are huge.
Huge. And it's
things.
All about the small huge. Details yeah. that make the big impact.
And
you
both
know?
Of you are impacting, you know, our culture, our habits, and just these small efforts that we do that ultimately, if we can get more and more of our community engaged around these
That's
things,
the
we have this enormous impact on our planet, on
right.
our water sources, on the ocean, the environment, animal life, human life, ultimately, you know,
right.
all of those things.
So yeah.
you're doing absolutely amazing things. Thank you so much for everything that you do. So April 19th is
yes.
coming up. And somebody's telling me that that's a special day.
Special day for me. Soapy Joe's Day. It's our third annual. We're actually a proclamation from the city of San Diego in regards to being a eco-friendly company. And so what we do is we do a couple things. We celebrate our members. And so we're giving out free car washes and PETA bracelets, which are really cool. I'm wearing one now. And then we're also promoting awareness in regards to Soapy Joe's. So if you go to SoapyJoe's.com, SoapyJoe'sCarWash.com, download the flyer, and then you can get a free car wash that day. We're partnering up with the resources that we're saving. We're donating to the Surf Rider Foundation as well. So it's a win-win. You know, you get a clean car, you feel good about yourself. We're going to be out there having some fun. And yeah.
It sounds like a perfect. Everything's
yeah.
perfect. Why
right.
not be involved? Why not
why
be engaged
not,
around it?
Why not
it,
be
right?
the power of one and make that difference?
And we're all messing up the websites today. So
right.
just so you know, all these websites are going to be on our website. I guess that's the one that I have to get correct, sdriseup.com.
Yeah.
So if you go there, we're going to have the websites and the contact information
right.
for all these folks. So no matter what, no matter how much we mess it up on air today, we'll have the right stuff on the websites coming up. So what are some of the other events that you have coming on the horizon?
We're actually working with the Surf Rider Foundation for our very first beach cleanup this Sunday from 2 to 4 at the IB Pier. I'll be down there heading that up on the Soapy Joe's team side. And I'm super excited about that because like Mike said, it's all about us, everybody going out there and just making that effort, making that difference. And, you know, it's just we really want to be associated with organizations and people like Mike that are making a difference for all of us.
So what does somebody do if they want to participate in the event?
That's a great question. We'll be down there with the Soapy Joe's booth from 2 to 4. You come on down and there'll be some prizes you can win. There'll be some little fun things that you can use to pick up the trash, put it away, and then, you know, not put it away, but you collect it. And it's just a feel good, you know, and it's my first one, so I'm kind of learning as I go, but it'll be fun.
Awesome. And what are the big events that Surf Rider has going on besides Sunday?
A lot. So we will be for Earth Day at Balboa mm-hmm. Park.
Awesome.
It's a little ways away, but in September we have again our Paddle for Clean Water okay. event, which is one of our marquee events. And then other than that, you know, I just ask people to, again, visit our webpage. We have 9 different programs. And if anybody is interested in volunteering, there's something out there for them.
So what do you guys do in Balboa Park? Because I think most people think a Surf Rider and they think it has to be at the beach.
Nope. Well, it's mainly at the beach, but yeah, I mean, it's Earth Day, right? So as environmentalists in general, we care about the environment. So we're going to be out there and there'll be information again on all of our different programs and ways to get involved.
Just another reason to go to Balboa Park. I love going to Balboa Park. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. People, passion, and the environment. I can't think of better causes and better ways of having an impact. Thank you so much, Mike and Ron. You have been listening to Rise Up Radio. We have been talking with some amazing servant leaders from the San Diego community having an impact. And like always, we want to encourage you to be a servant leader in your community and to rise up. You've been listening to Rise Up Radio. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.